This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And one of the things that's not so great about the nation right now is not just the raging pandemic going on of the Delta variant of the COVID-19 virus, but the raging pandemic of people basically speaking like experts, and I may be guilty of this too occasionally, who aren't really experts, but somebody who is when it comes to the particular medical challenges that we face right now, particularly regarding COVID-19, is Dr. Francis Rito, who's been on this show many times before. He is the medical director for infectious disease at Evergreen Health in Kirkland, Washington. Dr. Rito, thanks for making the time on a busy and important day.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here again.
Well, it's great. First of all, where does Evergreen stand right now in terms of COVID patients? I've just been trying to digest the amazing number that we are losing in the United States to death, about 1,500 people a day. How are you doing here locally?
Well, we continue to see, just at our hospital, we continue to see one to two patients dying every day or every other day. The number has really ticked up significantly in the last 6 weeks or so. But I think more telling is our hospital census. We're really full, and on a day-by-day basis, we have to make decisions about canceling surgeries that could be postponed because there are no beds. And sometimes there are no beds, and sometimes we're short-staffed. But we have opened satellite wards in the emergency department. We're boarding patients. It is a real problem. And to be honest with you, we're fortunate compared to hospitals in northern Idaho and in eastern Washington, where they're really struggling to the point where they've implemented crisis standards of care. And for those who might not be familiar with that, this is basically a decision made by a regional health jurisdiction in collaboration with Department of Health and hospitals to essentially determine what is going to happen. And it allows you to change staffing ratios, but most importantly, I think where it impacts individuals is you now go to emergency room and the hospital has no beds, you're going to be triaged, and decisions will have to be made about whether you're going to make it or not, and what level of care you're going to get, because there is no place to send you anymore. And the problem, I think, where people think, well, that's just related to COVID patients and I'm not going to be affected by that, the problem is this affects all of us. So if you walk into an emergency room or brought in because you're having chest pain and you're having a heart attack or a ruptured aneurysm, there may not be a bed for you. And so I think it should give us all a great deal of concern to hear news like we are triaging patients and it's because we don't have enough beds or enough staff to support their care. And that's where Northern Idaho is.
And well, and that's here in Seattle area where we have the idea that Evergreen would be full. In terms of what's going on at Evergreen right now, are you still in a situation where there are people in critical care for COVID?
Yeah, we have 10 patients right now. 10 of our 20-bed critical care unit are filled with COVID patients. And the discouraging part is, of course, few or none of these individuals have been vaccinated. But it causes problems because now we have to find find beds or other places to put patients who are coming in with other medical problems, respiratory distress, blood clots, bleeding, chest pain, because these beds are occupied. And I'll be honest with you, we're in good shape compared to some of the hospitals in the eastern part of the state or in northern Idaho.
If we can go to that for a moment, you mentioned northern Idaho and the eastern part of the state. Those also happen to be areas with very low vaccination rates, isn't that right?
That's correct, yeah. I saw figures yesterday from Providence and Holy Family Hospital combined in Spokane. They have 135 patients with COVID in their hospitals. 23 of those have been vaccinated. The others have not been. And you could just sort of get a sense of what the benefit would be if we could keep even a third or 50% of those other patients out of the hospital if they'd had vaccine. And that's what we're seeing. The benefit of vaccination is less severe illness, a lower risk for hospitalization, and a far lower risk of dying of COVID. I can't say it over and over enough. It's the benefit of vaccine. These are safe, effective, reliable vaccines.
There's a piece in the New York Times where they show you graphs and numbers, and it's from the 10 most vaccinated states. We're one of them. State of Washington, obviously not including every area in Washington, but statewide, Washington, New Mexico, New York, Connecticut, Maine, those are all highly vaccinated states. And then they compare it to the 10 least vaccinated states, which include Idaho and Colorado and North Dakota and Louisiana and Georgia. The rate of hospitalization which is really shocking, for adults is twice as high for the least vaccinated states, and for children, it's people under 18, it's about three times as high. Why would the children be so much more subject, particularly to the Delta variant? We don't really know why they're more subject to Delta variant, do we?
Well, so a lot of some of these children obviously have some underlying conditions, but remember, vaccine uptake in children, particularly 12 and up, has not been as robust as vaccine uptake in adults. And if you look at adults 70, 75 and up, 95% of those people have been vaccinated. They've gotten the message. They've seen their neighbors die of COVID, and trust me, old folks have some wisdom and some judgment. The problem is that antibodies in that population are not as robust, and you know, we have a lot of comorbidities as we get older, and we just can't stand being buffeted around as much as a younger person. The pediatric hospitals, we're seeing a fair number of cases in the 0 to 4 year old group, and then again in sort of the 12 to 16, 12 to 18 year old group. And it's not clear exactly why, other than perhaps the younger groups are in daycare and dependent on more interactions with adults, and the older group is probably more interactive with each other, therefore increasing the rates of transmission.
Do you have time for a few more questions, Dr.
Sure, Peter? Absolutely.
Terrific. I would like to go to that. I also want to get to you. We have been deluged by emails and phone calls and people contacting us to ask about the utility and the potentially salvific power of the drug ivermectin. And do you believe, and we'll get an answer after the break, that ivermectin can actually provide a very useful cure or at least help in terms of the treatment of COVID-19? We will be right back with Dr. Francis Rito, who is Medical Director for Infectious Disease at Evergreen Health, here on the MedVed Show.
Michael Medved.
I'm listening to everything you say.
Will socialism or free markets decide the future direction of Washington State? Washington Policy Center stands for free markets and market-based solutions, but we can't do it alone. Hear from the acclaimed CEO of Whole Foods and free market champion John Mackey, who calls capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished. And join him October 1st at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency. Tickets and information at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com. Introducing MedHead Plus, where you get all the benefits of regular MedHead members, plus you get access to anything in our MedVed History Store downloaded for free. Existing MedHead members can upgrade to MedHead Plus with a cost of only $79 per year. And for the next 30 days, new members can also join for $79 a year. MedHead Plus, get it all. Go to michaelmedved.com, find out about the new sale right now on MedHead Plus membership.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Michael Medved Show, I know that there are many listeners out there who are very encouraged by stuff that they've heard in the media about ivermectin. And yes, it has been used to help with river blindness and other tropical and jungle diseases. And it is not exclusively, though most prominently used as a dewormer for horses. And the question for Dr. Rito, this is Dr. Francis Rito, who's medical director for infectious disease at Evergreen Health, is a lot of people writing in thinking that they are hoping to avoid getting the vaccination. They're extremely worried about the impact and the side effects of the vaccination. They don't want to take it. Is it a good alternative to instead take a course of ivermectin in place of the vaccine?
Well, it's an interesting question that's been raised multiple times, and I think the genesis of this interest came from a small study looking at ivermectin in a test tube and whether it could inhibit the virus from multiplying. So essentially, you're using this as an antiviral medication. And they found that it did in fact work. The problem was that the concentration of ivermectin that you needed far exceeded what you could achieve by taking ivermectin orally. And there is no IV preparation. And it was not a borderline amount. It was a hundredfold difference. And so the analogy I use is, look, I could kill SARS-CoV-2 with just about anything if I put enough of it on there. I could,
bleach.
You could put gasoline on it and it'll kill it. But the point is, you can't achieve safe concentrations by taking that. And ivermectin, the whole point is that it doesn't seem to make scientific sense to me that you're promoting a drug where you can't achieve the concentrations that you showed are necessary to inhibit the virus. And so then it came down to a lot of studies, and there was recently a meta-analysis where they lumped a whole group of these studies together. But all of the studies have problems. They're either small or they're not controlled trials, or they're not controlled for other things that were used that do show benefit. For example, some of the studies also used steroids, which we know help treat people. But there was recently just a paper looking at the prevention of COVID by taking ivermectin and showed no benefit at all.
And there are potential side effects, aren't there?
There are potential side effects. And just to prove that, the number of phone calls to poison control centers has shot up dramatically. Now, the FDA has come out and said, look, there's not enough data to recommend it, and there's plenty of cautionary notes. The CDC has come out and said, please don't use it. And I think even Merck, the company that makes it, who has nothing to gain but profit by selling it, even Merck has come out and said, please do not use this medication for the prevention or the treatment of SARS-CoV-2 infection, of COVID-19. I mean, wouldn't it be in their interest to promote this wildly, to not only for profit, but as a potential life-saving drug? And the bottom line is, it's not there. But it keeps getting promoted, and people keep talking about it, but we're not using it. We're not asking people to use it, and if it requested, we're just not giving it until we have more data.
Can I ask you about, and again, Dr. Rito, Jeremy just put this up on my screen, and he's a graduate of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, very prestigious medical school in Baltimore. He's board certified in infectious disease. He's board certified in internal medicine. He, in 2021, Seattle Magazine, he was listed one of the top doctors in the region. And I trust him completely. But let me just ask you this about the vaccine. Is one of the things we hear from people who are vaccine resistant or vaccine hesitant is that we don't really know. We don't know how it is safe. And it isn't a real vaccine because of the mRNA. And how do we know that the vaccine is safe enough so that virtually everybody should try to take it?
Right. Well, the safety, I think, of these vaccines has been proven over and over again. But just to illustrate the point, I think the last number I saw for the United States was that we had over 376 million doses, and these are 90% either the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine. And Are there side effects? Absolutely, there's side effects. There's sore arms, and some people have fatigue and headache and low-grade fevers. Those are the immune responses to the vaccine. You see that and can see that with almost any vaccine that's given. Is this a vaccine? Yes, by definition it is. Any substance that produces an immune response is a vaccine if it also shows efficacy in terms of prevention. And so we have vaccines against tetanus and polio and smallpox, hepatitis, and on and on. And these vaccines have had a dramatic impact on the numbers of those infections that we see. Nobody sees polio anymore. Nobody sees smallpox anymore. And I would venture to say that nobody has ever seen a case of tetanus or diphtheria, whereas, you know, in the past, children would routinely die of these infections. So is the Pfizer or the Moderna or the Johnson & Johnson, are they vaccines? Absolutely. The messenger RNA is converted into a protein, the spike protein, that generates an antibody response. The messenger RNA disappears within a day or two. The spike protein disappears shortly thereafter. But the antibody response that you have persists and is generated, built in into your cell memory, so that when you see coronavirus again, you're ready.
And do you see, and quickly, because we're almost out of time, but is there another way of failing, basically getting most of those 80 million people who are not yet vaccinated adults, other than getting more people vaccinated, is there a way out from our current situation?
I think there are only three avenues, and I predict that ultimately we're all going to get infected. The question is how severely. You know, just like driving and your seatbelt. Are you going to have a car accident? You very well may. I think the avenues off of this are vaccination or natural infection, and you take the risks, and you can see what's happened going that route, and people are going to continue to die. And the susceptible, the unvaccinated, those individuals who we should be looking out for, who can't make antibodies because they're a transplant or they're getting chemotherapy or they're older, those are the individuals that are going to suffer the most.
Dr. Rito, so greatly appreciate your time and your information. We will be right back with more about why is this a political controversy, coming up on the MedVet Show.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden wants all businesses with 100 or more workers to require their staff to get vaccinated or tested weekly. This could affect up to 100 million people across the country. Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton joins America's newsroom and explains why this won't help the issue.
It's ineffective. I mean, by scolding and condescending to Americans, dripping with scorn that somehow this is their fault that they've been infected with a virus, they're not going to persuade people to get more vaccines.
A series of lightning strikes is causing crews on the front lines of the massive Caldor fire to scramble to put out new fires. A cold front in the Tahoe Basin causing more than 1,000 lightning strikes between last night and this morning in Northern California, including about 100 in the San Francisco Bay Area. USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Michael Medved Show on the day before the 20th anniversary of September 11th, and so many people look back on September 11th and they forget about the prior attempt, which was a very serious attempt, and by the grace of God, was not a devastating attack, but it was still a deadly attack. It was the attack on 1993 on the World Trade Center. The prosecutor of some of the suspects in that attack was Andy McCarthy, who is now a columnist for National Review. He has served as an assistant United States attorney for the Southern District of New York and is a contributor to Fox News. He also contributed to the prosecutions of terrorists who bombed U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. He resigned from the Justice Department back in 2003. Andy, first of all, where were you when 9/11 occurred?
I was home, which then, Michael, was Southport, Connecticut. And I was just coming in from going for a run in the morning, and I threw the news on, and the first plane hit. And what I was always struck by after that was the number of people in the government, even the president and the secretary of defense, who said that they didn't, it wasn't until the second plane hit that they were certain that the United States was under attack. And I guess because, as you just pointed out, in my office, we were running the terrorism cases for better or worse in the 8 years prior to the 9/11 attack. So I think we were a little more familiar not only with what it was and who it was that we were dealing with, but also with their obsession to continue to go back to prior targets. The World Trade Center was always something that was of great importance to them when they tried to bomb it, when they did bomb it in 1993, but were unsuccessful in taking it down. Ramzi Youssef, who was the main bomb maker, famously said that their calculations had been off, but next time they'd get it right. So, you know, they always had the objective of going back to that. And when the first plane hit, I had no doubt that it was an act of terrorism.
The defendants who were convicted in 1993, that was a deadly bombing, wasn't it? There were some casualties?
It was six adults were killed. It was a miraculously low death total. One woman was, I believe, 7.5 months pregnant. But if you looked at the scene of the explosion, it was simply miraculous that the level of people killed was that low. Thousands of people were injured. But it was a 1,400-pound urea nitrate chemical explosive that they not only hoped would collapse one tower into the other, but they also, and this gives an idea of how depraved our enemies are, they also attempted to aerate the bomb with cyanide. They had cyanide capsules and hydrogen tanks strapped to the explosive, and what they were hoping to do was create these cyanide clouds that would kill thousands of people, even remote from the epicenter of the explosion. So their objective was to kill tens of thousands of Americans, and they did so much damage, it's really unbelievable that it was only six.
Do you think there's still people out there like that who have that kind of devastation and murderous intent in mind?
I don't think there's any question about it. There's, you know, we could talk about whether the country is better prepared or not to deal with such people, but the fact that they're out there is not deniable, I don't think.
Well, so then are we better prepared? Condoleezza Rice had a piece in the Wall Street Journal today suggesting that she believes we're much better prepared.
I think that there's two sides of that coin, and one part of it I emphatically agree with her about, and that is that the cooperation between government agencies and the sharing of intelligence about terrorism and our threat environment is night and day better today than it was 20 years ago. I think where we fail is that we still, as a government, mulishly refuse to grapple with the enemy's ideology because it is drawn from a literalist interpretation of ancient Quranic scripture. And for that reason, we've always been afraid, I think, to touch that third rail. But to me, it's as recklessly irresponsible as would have been a failure to study Marxism during the Cold War. I don't know how you can stay ahead of what the enemy may be doing unless you understand what the enemy is trying to achieve. And I think when you see the Biden administration's State Department get up like they have in the last couple of weeks and suggest that maybe we can work with the Taliban and maybe they're evolving and maybe we could even combine with them in counterterrorism against ISIS, when idiocy like that gets spouted by the Reagan administration, it makes me feel like I've been hitting my head into the same wall for 30 years, because it's just, they just won't understand what it is that jihadists are trying to achieve and why. And as a result, you know, we say an awful lot of stupid stuff.
Is there a role for continued prosecution, legal strikes against the terrorists to try to defuse any future attacks?
Yes, and there always was. I think, Michael, the big mistake that we made in the 8 years prior to 9/11 was that law enforcement was kind of, as I say, the point of the spear of counterterrorism. There was always a subordinate role and an important one for the Justice Department. We always should have been trying to do cases, for example, on material support to terrorism, where we try to deprive terrorist networks of the resources that they need to operate. But it's simply a fact that when you're dealing with foreign terrorist organizations, they mostly are a military, not a crime problem, and they mostly operate in overseas havens where our agencies can't conduct operations and the writ of our courts doesn't run. So if you want to protect the country, it has to be a kind of a holistic approach where I think the law enforcement and Treasury assets are important, but they're subordinate to the military and intelligence assets. And I think that's really the arrangement we've had since 9/11, and it's a big reason why we haven't had a reprise.
In terms of your guess as to whether we are going to need to take some kind of security or military action in Afghanistan in the next 2, 3, 5 years?
A very high likelihood, because what people need to remember, this is a lot of forgotten history, but 9/11 was not a one-off. Osama bin Laden relocated al-Qaeda to Afghanistan after the Taliban took over. So al-Qaeda goes back there in 1996. Once they get there, with the sanctuary and the operational partnership with the regime, they declare war against the United States in 1996, bomb our embassies in East Africa in 1998, attempt to bomb a U.S. destroyer, the Sullivans, in 99, and actually do bomb the USS Cole in 2000, killing 17 American sailors. So that all happened running up to 9/11 in that five-year period, and it was allowed to happen because al-Qaeda had exactly what it has now, which is not only sanctuary where it can plot and plan, but operational partnership with the regime.
Which is a devastating recognition and one of the disasters among many involved with the very abrupt withdrawal from Afghanistan. Andy McCarthy, his material in National Review is indispensable. So is a new piece about American unity and 9/11 coming up.
Several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833-654 pain. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
877-878-4203. On the Michael Medved Show, there's a new CNBC poll that shows that people who are currently unvaccinated plan, for the most part, to stay that way. Change Research surveyed 1,775 respondents. They could have gone to 1776, but they didn't. 1775. And they did it for CNBC. And they did the survey between August 30th and September 2nd, so pretty current. And they asked about views of President Biden, President Trump, and many other issues. Among the 29% of U.S. voters who acknowledge that they're unvaccinated, there are probably more than that who are actually completely unvaccinated. This would be people who haven't had even a single injection. Of the 29% of U.S. voters, so you are talking about 80 million people, 83% say they do not plan to get the life-saving shots, so the survey shows. And growing vaccine hesitancy could make it more difficult to reach the up to 90% vaccination rate that health officials have suggested is necessary to achieve nationwide herd immunity to stop the spread and the danger and the economic devastation and all the other problems associated with COVID. And there's what's so remarkable about all of this is that it has become what should be a unifying surge to get everybody vaccinated and protected. David Leonhardt of the New York Times spoke to Mr. Duchin, who is the public health director in Seattle, and they came up with this, that in Seattle, on any average recent day, about one out of every million vaccinated residents have been admitted to a hospital with COVID symptoms. And the number of unvaccinated people who have been admitted is multiple times that much, as some would calculate 100 times that much. And this pertains to an email that I received, which I appreciate very much, and I'll read it to you entirely as it's written. John writes, Michael, I am faced with being fired if I refuse the vaccine. I have applied for an exemption, but I am not holding my breath on receiving a waiver. I have never had a flu shot, but these shots have so much more behind them. I do not know who to trust. I do not trust Joe Biden. I do not trust Dr. Fauci. I certainly do not trust the media. It seems very suspect that it is being pushed on the world population. And children are less likely to become very sick, yet they want to jab all the children. This is a big worry to me. I am sure millions of people agree. There are two sides to the story. Please use your platform to share both sides of the data. This will help us make up our minds. Well, let me go very directly to the point you make about children. And it is true that children are less likely to get sick, except they're much more likely to get sick from the Delta variant. And which is why, for the first time, when the Delta variant broke out, really a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't that long ago, it was when the Delta variant broke out that all of a sudden they were putting children into the intensive care units. And children were dying. We had a child, young child, who died of COVID here at Children's Hospital in Seattle. And the reason that they're pushing for getting jabs into the arms of children is not because they want to give them the mark of the beast or some kind of pernicious desire. It's basically to try to protect these children from getting the virus. And there was a huge piece I just finished reading about the horrible likelihood of kids who are getting the virus having what they call long COVID, which means and can mean for children lifetime effects. It can have impact on your sense of smell, on your sense of taste, on your throat, on your respiratory system. And even if you recover, and yes, most children will, even if you recover, the situation can be devastating. And can be devastating, have a devastating impact on kids. And look, when it comes to the efficacy of the vaccines, this is not an area you say you can't trust Dr. Fauci, you can't trust Joe Biden. Fine, don't trust him. Trust your own doctor. If you have a doctor, ask him if he thinks it's a good idea for you to sacrifice your job because you don't want to get a vaccine. Ask your doctor if there's any real danger to you, in your case, with your background, to getting a Pfizer or Moderna shot to protect you against COVID and also to protect you against losing your job. The point is, there is zero, zero credible evidence that the vaccine is going to damage you. It's why this desire to fight vaccine mandates, which seems to be so strong among Republicans, is so incredibly misguided. Because, okay, let's say Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, wants to fight the vaccine or weekly testing mandate for large businesses. Who are you helping in South Dakota by preventing people from getting vaccines? You aren't helping anyone by stopping them from getting a vaccine. You are potentially saving a human life and saving another human life and another human life by getting someone a vaccine, because that not only reduces the chances greatly that that individual is going to get the virus, it reduces even more the chances that that person is going to give that virus to somebody else. It's the only way we stop it. There's no other way. You think that electing more Republicans is going to help against the coronavirus? Or, frankly, electing more Democrats? The only thing that's going to help is getting Americans together. And this goes to this fine piece that I very much respect and admire and would like to echo. It's by Joe Lieberman, former U.S. Senator, and he writes a piece for this moment in the Jewish calendar. We are right between Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the days of awe, and Yom Kippur, the day of repentance, which is the day of atonement, as it's often translated, which is coming up next Thursday. And Joe Lieberman writes, the U.S. today is less unified and secure, less law-abiding, less respectful of government, and less confident in the future than at any point in my life. It needs to be jolted from its current course by the sound of the ram's horn. That's a traditional aspect of these Jewish holidays, to find a better way forward. The path Jewish tradition offers is through repentance, but not only in the way it is commonly understood. As Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, may he rest in peace, has taught, the root of the Hebrew word for repentance, tshuva, means to return. For a nation, he explained, it means a return to our roots, our faith, our history. That is the best first step the American people can take to overcome division, because it will show how far we have strayed from the source of our national values, utility, unity, and purpose. He writes, the American ideal that all of us are created equal has been the source of our national unity. But in our time, that faith has been overwhelmed by forces that divide our government, our politics, and people. Those differences would yield to a unifying bond and great values we share as fellow citizens of the U.S. In that event, civility might return to society. Reasonable discussions, full of negotiation, compromise, and problem-solving could follow. Throughout American history, writes Senator Lieberman, national crises have brought us together. However, COVID-19 prompted us to be suspicious of one another and to disagree vehemently along partisan lines, but the pandemic also produced some remarkable examples of what we can do when we work together. From healthcare workers caring for the sick to scientists supported by business and government who produced a miraculous vaccine that has saved millions of lives. He goes on, the power of unity can heal all for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.